Good morning. Would you guys join me in prayer before we begin? Lord, we simply thank you for this morning. And Lord, we ask that you would be present with us now. Lord, speak to us. Help us to have ears that can hear. And we just ask that you would keep preparing us during this Advent season. And so we pray for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So today is our third week in Advent, and I'm starting to feel the nearness of Christmas Day. The other night, we went to the Americana in Glendale, and while we were there, I could especially feel how close Christmas is, because everyone was giddy, the tree was lit, right? There were all these sparkling lights everywhere, people were shopping, and the stores and the parking lots were none other than packed to the brim with people. It seems like everyone is waiting for Christmas to come. Now, some people are excited about this holiday, and they're still caught up in preparing for the big day, and others simply want it to be over with so that things can return to normal. Personally, I'm a little excited for the malls and the grocery stores to be a little less crowded after the holidays. But this is a time where we wait for Christmas because of how important it is to us. It's important because we love to spend time with our loved ones. But we're not the only ones who are familiar with waiting for something that's important to us. You see, in the same way that we are all waiting for Christmas to come, our passages for today speak of this theme of waiting. John the Baptist spent most of his life waiting for something that was very important to him. For in our gospel passage in Matthew, John the Baptist has one question on his mind while he sits in prison. He sends his disciples to ask Jesus this question: are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? It's like he's asking, are you really the Messiah? Are you really the one that I proclaimed about in the wilderness? Or do I have to keep waiting for our expected Savior? There's almost this tinge of uncertainty or even doubt in John's tone, as I can only imagine that he was probably tired at this point in his ministry. He's probably wondering if it had been worth it to be the one who had been preparing the way for the Lord, if it had been worth being that voice that cried out in the wilderness. In response to John's question, Jesus tells John's disciples, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. It almost sounds like Jesus is quoting today's Isaiah passage. Perhaps he was. Perhaps he did this to call to John's attention the memory of these prophetic words, where Isaiah says, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For water shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. Jesus' words echo Isaiah's words. No longer will the deaf be unable to hear, and the blind unable to see, and the lame unable to walk, and the speechless left without words. So, indirectly, Jesus says, yes, I am the one you have been waiting for. Jesus is the one the whole world was waiting for. And when he arrived, then Jesus tells the world that they're going to have to wait one more time for him. And this time, the world would have to wait for his return. The world will have to wait for him to come again in all the fullness of his glory and in his kingdom. It's like Jesus has broken into the darkness of this world, left his light here, and now we're still caught in this tension of waiting for his second coming. It seems like John prepared his whole life for the coming of the Messiah. Even in the womb where he was preparing, it seems like he was preparing for how the Messiah would change the world. In the Gospel of Luke, the angel Gabriel told his father Zechariah that you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink strong wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many people of Israel to the Lord their God. With the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before him to turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And then when Mary met her cousin Elizabeth, John moved in her womb and caused Elizabeth to bless Mary, for Mary was carrying Jesus in her womb at the time. John's life was dedicated to preparing the way for the Lord, baptizing people and causing them to repent and turn back to God. And so in our passage, since we know that John has already recognized this messianic status of Jesus, we see a little bit of doubt start to creep into his mind. Are you really the one? Do we have to keep waiting? Perhaps this is because Jesus' ministry was one of compassion and healing, rather than John's expectation that the Messiah would come with a winnowing fork in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to burn the chaff away. This Messiah is whom John had waited for. He had anticipated the coming of the Lord. And so sitting in his prison cell, John probably needed to hear a word of encouragement, some sort of affirmation that his preparation for the Lord had not been in vain. I can only imagine that John was losing patience in Jesus' ministry for restoration of Israel because it hadn't taken place yet. I can only imagine that his discouragement in prison caused him to doubt a little bit. And so he cries to the Lord and asks this question. Seems like he's trying to remain patient for Jesus to fulfill this messianic call. And at times I'm sure that we all feel like John, stuck in a prison cell, waiting for the Lord to continue his work in our lives and around us. Thankfully, though, James encourages us, as he did the early believers. He says, "Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and late rains. You must also be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another so that you may not be judged." This Advent season, as we await the birth of Christ and the second coming of our Lord, this passage makes me wonder, how are we waiting for the Lord? What type of waiting are we doing? As I was thinking this week about different types or different ways that we can wait for something, I came up with three most common ways that we can wait for things. Might be like a three-point sermon. Not really, but the first way that we often wait for things is to wait impatiently or to not wait at all. This is the type of waiting we see in public places at Christmas time or at Disneyland when the lines are long, people are tired, and nobody wants to put up with it. So they either wait it out angrily, huffing and puffing all the while, or if you're like me, you just leave. Last weekend, I took Scotty and Aaron to see Santa Claus, and the wait was only about 15 minutes. Okay, that's not that long. But I just didn't have it in me to wait in line with two kids, pushing our big double stroller amidst a bunch of other stressed out parents who were trying to keep their kids in line too. So I left. I didn't wait at all. Another way that we often wait is with this sort of absent-minded patience. For example, in my backyard, we have this nice little garden area. So Tori and Candace and I planted a winter garden, I think it was in October. It feels like a long time ago. We planted everything from lettuce, carrots, onions, chives, broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, radishes. I think there's some other things that I don't remember. We have a lot going on in this garden. I feel like I'm waiting patiently for this garden to bear some fruit. And I know that we still have a few more weeks at least before we'll be able to eat anything from the garden. So I know that one day in the not too distant future, I'll be able to enjoy fresh produce from our garden. However, I'm not really waiting with anticipation. I'm not anxious about it. It's not stressing me out. But I'm also not carefully watching for signs of the garden's progress. Last night, since I knew I was going to be talking about this morning, I had to run out into the garden before it got too dark, and I half-heartedly pulled some weeds out that had taken root. And after spending just a few minutes outside, I was ready to leave the garden and go back in. I just wasn't very interested in it. I'm excited for the garden to produce good veggies, but I've kind of been neglecting it until it does. But there's a danger in this type of waiting, because if I neglect it too much, then the weeds could overtake it and grubs could eat it. Thankfully, Candace has been going back there more than me and sprinkling some stuff on it. I don't know what it is. So even though I'm excited about it, I'm not really anticipating anything, right? And I think that since I'm not really preparing for it, I'm not really going to be as ready for the harvest. This is an example of an absent-minded type of waiting, where I'm neither anxious nor anticipatory. And sometimes when we wait for something, we wait both patiently and with attentiveness. You see, in just a few short weeks, Christmas will be here, and we have family that will be visiting. My brother-in-law, his wife, and their three boys will be staying with us in our house. And so I'm very excited for them to come to Pasadena, but I also have a lot of work to do on our house before they get here. They will be staying in our daughter's room, but in its current state, that room is not an acceptable place to put guests. I have a list of several things I either need to organize, fix, decorate, hang up, everything like that. So while I wait for them to come visit us, I'll be busily preparing for their arrival. I've already started. Last night I was cleaning out some drawers and throwing things away. So this is an example of patiently waiting with attentiveness and paying attention to some of the details. I'm looking for things that I can fix and get ready for them for their coming. It's more like an active patience. I'm actively waiting, and I'm actively preparing for their coming. And I'm having to exercise an active patience. You see, if you compare the way that I waited in line for Santa, for my garden to bear fruit, and for the visit from my family, I've responded to all of them very differently. So I'm not going to emphasize waiting impatiently, because I don't want any of us to be formed in such a way that we practice impatience. But the other types of patient waiting require a little more unpacking. Because I'm waiting for the pending produce in the garden to actually grow large enough for me to eat. But I am waiting absent-mindedly for it. I'm not carefully tending to this garden or watching for signs of growth or destruction. I know it's going to happen, so I'm not really thinking about it, and I'm just waiting for it to happen on its own. But I'm very actively waiting for my family to be here. I'm patiently waiting for them in a different way. I'm preparing our house for when they arrive. I'm attentively cleaning and organizing and putting things into the right places. My work on the house right now will help me prepare for their visit in a few weeks, so that when they are here, I won't have to worry about things that I've left undone. I know in this case, regarding my family, what I'm waiting for and why. I wait patiently for my family to arrive because I love them and I love the time that we're going to have together. And I think sometimes that we forget what we're waiting for and why we're waiting as Christians. Do we really know what we're waiting for when we talk about the coming of the Lord? We know the Messiah has come, and we rejoice for his life, death, and resurrection. Jesus tells us, just like John's disciples, to look around at what we hear and see. His kingdom is here. Look at what God is doing around us. We pay attention to this. We look for those signs. And we know when Christ returns, the fullness of his kingdom will come with him. So are we waiting for his arrival? More importantly, are we waiting attentively, like John did, for the Messiah to come? The truth is, in waiting attentively, that will prepare us fully for when Christ does come again. For when we see the fullness of his glory and his kingdom, and we know the kingdom is here, then we'll be prepared for it. But we must allow the Lord to strengthen our hearts and hands, like Isaiah says. For it's not easy to remain attentive while waiting patiently. John the Baptist needed encouragement as he waited patiently for the Messiah to inaugurate the kingdom. Yet in the midst of his uncertainty and doubt, he remained active and attentive by preparing the way for the Lord and his kingdom. Even so much so that Herod put him in jail to put an end to his prophetic activity. Our challenge this morning is to wait patiently for the Lord to return in the fullness of his kingdom and his glory. Our call is not to wait absentmindedly, like my garden. We're not supposed to just go on with our daily lives and we know it's going to come, so we just forget about it. We're going to let it happen on its own, and then someday it'll arrive. But we are to prepare the way of the Lord by joining Mary in her song, where oppression is undone, the hungry are fed, those who are powerless are no longer left out. We're challenged and empowered by the Holy Spirit to wait patiently with an attentiveness to preparing the way for the Lord. We wait actively with this patience. Or as one preacher puts it, we wait with Isaiah for springs to emerge in deserts and highways where paths seem impossible to navigate, leading exiles home. We wait with John the Baptizer for an apocalypse, a dramatic realization of God's reign here and now. And we wait, prompted by James, with the patience of a farmer for the harvest to come. We wait for the fullness of God's reign to be realized among us and all the world. So we ask ourselves, how are we waiting for the Lord? Are we even aware of the way in which we are waiting? Impatiently, patiently, but absentmindedly, or patient with attentiveness? I hope that we will all strengthen our hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. So let's look for it. As we enter into our prayers of the people, pray for things that you see around you. Pray for those things which you know God is doing and maybe you want to participate in. Pray for those things which you want to see God do. Pray that you will actively participate in what's going on. Pray that you'll have that patience to wait for his coming. So let us pray. Lord, we do come before you. And we know that your coming is near. We can feel it, Lord. So we ask in this time of the prayers of the people that you would hear our voices, that you would intercede in ways that we need intercession. Lord, that you would let your hand be at work among us. So we open this time for prayer.